When I was a young boy, every morning before school, it was the same ritual. The same eye-roll-inducing ritual. Just as my hand would reach the doorknob to open the front door so that I could walk out the house down to the bus stop at the corner, every morning without fail, my father would appear in the downstairs hallway. Standing there in his slippers and bathrobe, coffee mug in one hand, newspaper in the other, he would tell me as I was leaving the house, "Son, remember who you are." At the time, of course, I would groan audibly as I heard this daily reminder slash encouragement slash admonishment for whatever I do that day. But those three words have stuck with me. Remember who you are. Whenever I'm afraid or unsure of myself or feeling stressed or incapable, I hear, "Remember who you are." Whenever I have a crossroads before me, whenever I recognize that there is a high road and a low road with almost every decision to make, I remember that voice. Remember who you are. Church, I believe with everything that I am that there is nothing, nothing greater you will ever do with your life than to truly live out who you are. Living out who you are, that I believe is the most powerful thing you will ever do in this world. Because in a world full of lies and half-truths, where leaders tell us only what their marketing professionals tell them that we want to hear, in a world full of hucksters, this world needs to know the truth. And the most powerful thing we can do is to live out the truth. The truth of who we really are. So who are we? Well, baptism tells us. The voice Jesus hears from heaven after his baptism is the voice that we all hear. "This is my beloved child." That's who you are, God's beloved child. And I pray that you will always remember who you are. Down along the banks of the Jordan River, people have gathered to listen to John's preaching, to pray that God would forgive their sins. There is John, eating locusts and wild honey, clad in a camel's hair suit. That wild and woolly John the Baptist stands by the riverbank preaching to this crowd about repentance and about love. And then one by one, contrite sinners step forward and walk into the water with John and are plunged beneath the waters. And coming up from that dirty river water, they stand clean before God. Wouldn't you love to have been there? What a scene this is. There's just one thing wrong with it. Standing in line with all those sinners to be baptized stands Jesus. What's he doing there? After all, he is Emmanuel, God with us, God's own Son, the Messiah, the Christ. What's he doing in line with those sinners? John the Baptist protests. No, Rabbi, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me for baptism? We all protest too. Jesus, what are you doing in that baptismal line? What do you have to be sorry about? What sins do you need washed away? What are you doing in that crowd of sinners? And Jesus replies, this is the way it must be. I'm baptized alongside you to fulfill all righteousness. Remember, this is Matthew telling the story. And for him, righteousness is a big deal. Just a few weeks ago, Matthew told us that Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, was a righteous man. That's why he accepted God's outlandish plan for him and for Mary. Because he was righteous, Joseph decided to get married to Mary, despite being pregnant with Jesus, despite what others might whisper behind his back. Because he was righteous, Joseph said yes when God asked him to parent the Christ child, God in the flesh, Savior of the world. And Matthew tells us because Jesus was righteous, he stood in that line to be baptized. No, he didn't need to be there. He didn't need to wash away his sins along with the others in the crowd. But he chose to be there. He was there because he loves every single person in that crowd and refuses to separate himself from them. And in the waters of baptism, Jesus says to them and to you and me, in no uncertain terms, I am with you. I stand alongside you. You are not alone. Maybe Jesus' behavior here shouldn't surprise us. Because isn't this how Jesus lived his life? We know the story of Zacchaeus. We know the story of the woman at the well. We've heard the stories of him eating with prostitutes and tax collectors. So we shouldn't be surprised that Jesus jumps right in there with that crowd of repentant sinners down at the Jordan River. No, he didn't need to repent, but in his baptism, Jesus did exactly what he did his entire life. He stood alongside us. Jesus stood in the Jordan, just as he lay in the manger, just as he hung on the cross, loving us, identifying us with every aspect of our lives, living into his name, Emmanuel, God with us. Friends, this is a good word for us to hear today, I believe. As we begin a new year of deacon ministry, and as we ordained two new deacons, I believe this is a good word for us to hear, for Jesus' baptism, I believe, serves as a model for deacon ministry in at least two ways. First, just as Jesus was baptized to stand alongside us, deacon ministry is about standing alongside others as they journey through life and faith. Cindy Mistretta and Bill Ranson were ordained today not because they are more saintly than the rest of us. We ordained them because we have recognized within them generous hearts of love and service. And today we set them apart for ministry here at River Road Church, with us as their brothers and sisters, encouraging us, loving us, praying for us, standing alongside us. A friend of mine, a fellow pastor, once told me about something that happened at church several years ago. It appears an elderly man had just moved into a retirement home in the neighborhood. The following Sunday after moving in was Easter, so he knew he just had to go to church, and he decided to visit my friend's church. A bit unfamiliar with his new surroundings, he got a little lost, but finally found the church and the door to enter and walked in the worship service. The service had already begun by the time he got there, and being Easter, most every seat was taken. The pews in the sanctuary were full. He walked down the long window aisle looking for an empty spot as he paced down the aisle. None could be found. So he walked back to the back and through the narthex. He then walked down that long center aisle of the church, looking down each row, trying to find an empty spot. No seats were to be found, and by this time, he was beginning to annoy some people, disrupting the service by all this walking around. Unable to find a seat and out of breath, when he got to the front after walking down the long aisle, he put his cane down and he just sat down in the front on the floor. Now, this was just too much. People were giving him dirty looks and sighing audibly for interrupting this service. This is Easter, you get here early. What's he doing walking around in this worship service? And then a deacon stood up, got out of her seat, and walked toward the man. Finally, thank goodness she'll take care of this situation, they thought. Without saying a word, she sat down on the floor next to the elderly man and stayed there the rest of the service. No, that deacon didn't need to sit on the floor, but she chose to. She chose to sit alongside this man to identify with him, and to show him that he was not alone. Second, I believe Jesus' baptism teaches us that while we are baptized into that great cloud of witnesses, while we are baptized into life and faith that stretches across time into eternity, we are also baptized into ministry, into serving others right here and now. Two years ago, I was talking with Molly Ingram prior to her baptism. Molly is the lovely and talented daughter of Reverends Marnie and Daniel. I was talking her through how I would baptize her, the words that I would use, the promises that the congregation would speak over her. Then we walked down those stairs behind the front of the chapel, and I showed her the changing room where she would dry off afterwards and change her clothes. I told her that after that, she would then come back into the worship service at which time she would receive communion and then sit with her family for the remainder of the service. After taking all of this in, I asked Molly if she had any questions or concerns. Molly said to me, asked me, "Instead of just taking communion, you think it'd be all right if I served it too?" I said, "Absolutely." Church, I have to tell you, I was so moved by the experience, and I hope I never forget it. Because there at the front of the chapel at River Road Church, standing alongside Molly, my new sister in the faith, hair still dripping wet from baptism, serving the meal of Holy Communion to her church. And it was in that space that Molly reiterated for me Christ's teachings. Yes, we are baptized into the faith. Yes, we are baptized into the church. But we are also baptized into a life of service and ministry. Not just deacons, not just clergy, but every single one of us. Because friends, on the day that we are baptized, we receive our calling and our mission. And it is this: to be sons and daughters of God, to hear the voice of God saying that we are beloved, to love God with all that we are, and to love everyone around us. And church, I believe this is as important today as it has ever been. In a world of violence, of hate and fear, we are called to remember our baptisms, to live out our baptisms by living into the example that Christ sets for all of us, which means we serve one another, we stand alongside one another in deep and abiding love. Because this River Road Church, this is who we are.